4 of NWA. Mobile.
To be mobile.
Hey, man, what you doing out and about today?
The port. Heading to 85 to go down to Bellum to pick up some slosh keys. Did you have a bicycle race you were supporting this morning?
Race is the assault on Mitchell, and it's on Monday morning.
Oh, that's not this weekend. That's Monday.
Yes, sir. Monday morning, bright and early. You want to go with me?
I wonder if Daniel is in it. You know, Daniel's a super biker.
Do the biking that deep, and he can get off of work. Yeah, then he'll probably be in it.
Yeah, he was a super biker before he got heavily involved in making a living.
And you got to take a day off to go do something fun.
I suspect if he can, he's probably in it. You know, he's ridden from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop in record time.
Do road bikes or does he do mountain bikes?
Bicycle. Pedaling bicycle from on the road, from street to street.
Okay, because there's folks that do on the road, like road racing, and then there's folks that do the mountain biking.
Both on Mount Mitchell is both. It's on road and off road bicycles.
Probably road race.
Being it or not, but I know he really likes that stuff and really gets into it and is in super good shape.
Good. Man, I wish I had the legs for it still. Say you're over by the airport right now, because I'm on Highway 14 at 85.
I turned off and went south on 85, and now I'm about 200 feet from turning off on Bellum.
We just passed each other. How about that? Oh, I didn't know you were a big Schlotsky's fan. My wife loves it. Anytime I'm down in Greenville, if I come home without a Schlotsky, she's dog-out time.
Schlotsky's about once a month. I'd come over here and get it. But now it's about twice a month, so it is increasing.
That original large, but I'll tell you what I've gotten onto recently now, is they have a pastrami stacker. Oh, baby.
Well, she gets a ham and cheese original medium, and I get a turkey original medium.
How about that? It's good stuff. You know, I don't understand why they didn't expand in this market.
Because it seems like every time I ever go over there, I have to wait in line.
Put the place up, and they do a good job, and it looks clean. And I like them.
Maybe he's like Clint Eastwood. He or she, I don't know if the CEO is a male or female, but maybe the CEO is like Clint Eastwood. Man's got to know his limits. Maybe he knows his limits. You know, some people try to get in beyond their limits, and they ruin a good thing.
I know a couple of Chick-fil-A franchises that did just that, not around here. The Chick-fil-A franchise in Greer, that guy, they do a good job. But I know one or two Chick-fil-A franchises. One's in Columbia, and he just expanded too fast, and he just created a monster.
People like Chick-fil-A. I myself don't like them anymore. I've had a lot of them, but too many. I've got too many that had soggy bread and oily chicken. I just can't eat them anymore. I just smell them, and it's kind of like this time when I was the first time I never did drink till I was about 29 years old, and the guys at work told me how to do that. So I got a bottle of vodka and I drank half of it in one night. And it made me so sick, I can't even stand the smell of vodka anymore. Well, that's kind of the way Chick-fil-A is for me now. I had so many of them, and they got so oily and with watered-down bread, I just couldn't eat them anymore.
From out. Well, was that from the one in Greer?
I think it was from, I'm not sure where it was. I think it was from when I was going to Greenville Tech. I know I ate a whole bunch of pan pizzas, and then they quit doing pan pizzas, and I think I got Chick-fil-A after that.
Well, hey, at Schmotsky's, have you had their little personal pizza?
Nope, but it's my time at the window 1 of 2, so I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW. Line for window 2 of 2, so I'm back. But I'm up against the building. Can you hear me? W4DJW.
I know exactly where you're sitting. Yes, sir, I can hear you well. You're loud and clear, full quieting.
An armada.
What is, or there is a?
But there is a one of those in front of me, and what is it? It looks like a half. It looks like a blend between a truck and a SUV.
Sort of the Nissan attempt at a Suburban.
That you know that AJ model that I have, the big one, the that's got the wingtips on the end. What if that would fit inside of that?
Good question. Yeah, it's an interesting concept. The direction you're going there. The real question would be, how flat do the back seats fold? Because see, sometimes when you fold the back seats down to make an even additional space, there's a big hump. And that would be my question. I'm sure the space in the back is really nice, but pretty much the standard between the wheel wells is 48 inches or 50 inches, so that you can get a 4x8 sheet of material back there.
You know, the wings running along the length of the vehicle, not perpendicular to it, but along the length. And then the fuselage, the tail sitting up on one of those humps, might be able to carry that in there. If I could do that, or just build a platform that's halfway up and put, you know, have a shelf, put it on the shelf that doesn't have any humps, and put the other little planes down there where the humps are. Amy wants to get a different vehicle than she wants me to get rid of my truck.
Attached to that truck.
I know. But I'm looking at other stuff. Maybe that's just so that she sees that I'm looking at other stuff. I gotta go get a second servicing on this car, the Maxima. And it's a 2017, and it goes in for a second servicing now. The light's coming on, so I gotta take it in. I'm gonna look at those when I'm out there.
What you might ought to consider one of their vans. They have those new big square shaped body vans. Man, you can camp out of it, you can haul stuff in it, you can put multiple passengers in it. I mean, they're versatile.
I'll be back in a minute. I had a big van like that. I just passed a Prime van like that that looked, it was a Ford. I forget the name of it. I looked at it. I can't remember. But a Prime van, that kind of boxy like you're talking about.
Nissan dealership, getting your service done, walk out there and ask them to look at, I believe it's called a N1500. I believe it is. And it's pretty much about like a Chevy van, except it's, stacked out a lot differently. And it is very, very versatile, especially if you want to put a lot of family in it. But, you know, the seats disconnect and come out, and it's pretty sharp.
Any of them? We're talking about a Nissan, right?
Yes, sir.
What's their price range?
No clue whatsoever. Dave, listen. You do know that right now is not the time to buy a vehicle of any description. The problem is supply. The problem is, if you can get one, you're going to pay list plus, not list minus. And I tell you, it's crazy out there right now as far as automobiles. The pricing on them has just gone out the roof. I'll give you an example. Well, I think I told you about the Chrysler dealership over in Spartanburg. Called me up last September and offered me $10,000 more than I paid for my Ram Diesel.
Because, I think that's because they can't get new ones. But if they can get new ones, Well, I don't know. I just have to go look and see what the price is. I saw posts on. Are you familiar with Neighborhood? It's a kind of. It's like a social media, like Facebook, except it's for neighborhoods.
Yeah. I'm familiar.
So somebody posted in one of them. Because I get an email when they post something that shows up in the neighborhood that I'm in. And they were complaining about the price. They were people that do work, they're handymen, like that, and they were saying that people are complaining so much, and then they ran down the price list of the gas and how much it takes to get there and the increase of the parts and how much that was, and then showed them and said, and we have to do this over and over and over again. They're just getting tired of doing it, so... I guess you're right. It's probably not a good time to think about doing that.
I tell you, the COVID thing just knocked everything in the head and skewed, the supply chain to where, they're just charging whatever price they think they can get.
Because all except for Tesla, right? The auto manufacturers made a really bad choice when COVID hit. They said, we're not going to have people making cars enough to warrant making chips for them. So the chip manufacturer said, okay, well, we're not going to sit idle. We're going to change out our dies, and that takes a few years. You don't just change out dies, overnight on a chip manufacturer. So getting it changed back, getting back in the pipeline for the chip manufacturers is why the cars are not out there yet. I think that's a little different than the other supply chain issues. So the car manufacturers, all except for Tesla, because he didn't do that. He said, keep all in order, keep them running, keep the presses hot. And they kept them hot, and he's not missing a beat. But all the other car manufacturers made really poor decisions at that point in time. And I think that doesn't justify running the price up. W4DJW.
We don't know the full details on everything. But if something is scarce, you're going to pay more for it.
Scarce is because they forced the chip manufacturers to change out their supply chain line to different dies to make different chips, and they did that. And now getting them back over is kind of hard. Anyway, I guess you could call that a supply and demand issue, but it's not like rare earth elements where you can't find the elements that you need to build the parts.
Well, in the meantime, you just need to go down there and check it out and see what kind of prices they're running. But just make sure you've taken all your medications. Keep that heart pumping once you find out.
I'm on 85, so I had to pay attention to what I was doing. You get that much power, you got to be very careful with it. You understand?
One of the concepts that I was looking at, I've got my Ram that I pull stuff with, and then I've got Sue's Cadillac that we go in. And then for me, like today, I'm just running around in my little Saturn. And I'm getting 26 miles a gallon in a little Saturn. And, I'm pretty much equipped. But I was actually kicking the concept around of buying myself an old Chevy van or something that, had 100,000 miles on it that I could just kick around and take my airplanes in. Something I could put a little homebrewed interior in and custom fitted, just something I could still haul other materials in, and I wouldn't have more than about $3,000 or $4,000 in it, and hey, I'd cover all my needs.
Something up like that, it'd probably be like an old Chevrolet pickup truck, old 50s year. I'd enjoy doing that again. I had one time I built back all the way from the ground up, and it was beautiful. I don't know why I ever let that thing go.
I am slowly ramping up seller's remorse on my blue Mustang. Has been for a month.
Can't get it back either. I saw a 65 Mustang for sale. They had a price tag on it, $1, because they weren't going to tell you. They didn't want you to have a heart attack, so they only put a dollar price tag on it. It was on that Facebook marketplace. Boy, it was pretty as a convertible.
No. That's one of those, are you sitting down?
For $90,000, I'm thinking.
Anybody that's in the market for a 66 Mustang convertible that's in really nice shape, fully restored. I know where you can put your hands on one for about $32,000.
Man.
Convertible.
You know, 66 doesn't bring in as much money as 65 or 64 and a half.
I can look again, Bubba. They're all bringing the money now.
65 Mustang. Convertible, a fastback, or sedan, it doesn't matter. It's nothing like a 65 Mustang. It's kind of like a 59 Chevrolet pickup. Nothing like them.
You're looking for a car to restore, are you?
A little work. I wouldn't mind, you know, doing some of the work on it. I haven't done any like that in a long time, and I used to enjoy that before I OD'd on it.
You're looking at probably a $15,000 or $20,000 automobile that you need to do a little bit of fixing up on. Yeah, that's the category that you're in right there, about $15,000 to $20,000, just to get to where you want to be. Just a good body, you know, that you need to put floor pans in. One that's all there for a 64 and a half. I've got one, and I've got it sold right now for $3,000.
Over when you walk in your garage, over on the right.
Upper left, up under the second floor. It's that white 64 and a half. It's a six-cylinder car.
4 and a half?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had one. Yeah, those are expensive no matter what shape they're in.
It's just a really good, solid candidate for restoration. And I'm selling it. He hasn't come and got it yet. He says he wants it. But I've got it sold for $3,000.
64 and a half.
Need a full restoration.
Well, just an empty shell brings that much. Easy.
Well, this is everything there. And it's six-cylinder, three-speed on the floor. Pretty much a pretty good solid body car.
A version of that with the when the fastback first came out, which I think was in late 64 or early 65, and it was 289 engine in it. And I had to order a short block for it and sent the heads up to Doc Green's and Travis Rest and had them reconditioned. Rebuilt the whole thing. I think it was a three-speed automatic.
Now, this one of mine is a three-speed manual.
One of those. He had the 64 and a half three-speed manual, and his brakes went out. His name was Keith Horn. That's the same name that the Keith that you talk to on this repeater every now and then, but not the same Keith Horn. Anyway, he lived at the end of my street, and when he'd get to my house, he'd put it in reverse and start letting the clutch out and revving the engine. And he used that for brakes, and you hear his tires squealing going backwards trying to stop before he got to his house. Speak the name.
How we doing, Keith?
Hey, Keith.
I was mobile a little while ago in Anderson. I was sitting there in Pendleton on 76 and could hear y'all just clear as a bell. Don't try to get in, but couldn't get a word in edgewise. But yeah, I know you had mentioned Dave before about you was wondering if I was that fellow.
I was hearing you clear as a bell at the red light over at South Buncombe and 14, and then when I went through the red, when the light turned green, I went through it, I lost all of the rest of it. But I heard you say that you knew that I had a friend named Keith Horn.
Sitting out on the porch again on the HT, so I'm not sure how I'm getting out. You hear me all right, Steve?
I'm just about like Dave. You're getting in there now, but there for a minute at that last previous transmission, this one, it dropped down into the bacon frying.
It comes and goes.
Gotcha. Well, I was just listening to y'all carry on, so y'all go ahead. I'll stand by since I ain't making it all the way in. K4CHY. Thank y'all.
Hey, Keith, before you go, hang on. Dave, now I went over to Ideal Steel, and they did not have any of the scrap of the 2I or 2O, but they had new stuff. Keith was saying that you're going to get us a drawing.
That request that I sent to Johnny, that there's all four of us are on that request.
Just whenever you guys get that, we'll know, you know, a little bit more about what we can try to put together on that material. So, all right, Keith, you have a good one, buddy. That thing's doing okay.
Yeah, I've got, the fellow at Blue Ridge told me about a fellow over here, All-Star Welding, that had just bought a bunch of that 2-inch, and he said he might have some left over from the project, so I'm going to check with him Monday.
There's a place in Greer that I'm going to check also, so, but they don't open until Monday either, so. All right, well, good enough. Good to talk to you, Keith.
I can't find it, of course, like Metals Depot, but it's like $90 for the 4-foot piece and, I don't know, $40 or $50 for the 2-foot piece. And it costs you about $30 shipping, so it'd be like $180 for the material. Over.
Same thing Steve found for one 4-foot piece. So it is available at really high prices if that becomes plan B.
And that's why I was hoping for Blue Ridge. He just has the 14-gauge stuff. He don't have 3/16 or quarter. So I was hoping for Blue Ridge because usually Boss Man says he'll go over there and buy, you know, 3 or 4 feet at the time and not pay but, you know, $30, $40 for it. Over.
You have to exhaust all those avenues, exhaust all possibility of any of those avenues before, you know, spending a whole lot more for not a whole lot.
Now, Blue Ridge does still have plate, and so once we get that sketch, I can probably get him to share us a piece of plate or plates, is it, and, you know, whatever we need once we get the sketch.
And when I get home, then maybe we can get Johnny moving on the sketch now that he's not working.
A whole lot more sense to me, or to us, if we can visualize the direction we're going. As a matter of fact, I might have a small piece of plate up here that I could donate to that. You know, it depends on the thickness that you're requiring and all that kind of stuff. So, anyhow, we just need to see that sketch.
You doubled there for a little bit. Let me see if I got it. Yeah. So, Steve, you never knew Keith Horn went to Eastside in my class, about three classes behind you, or Robert Ashley that was like up or closer to your class. You never heard that name before at Eastside?
Keith Horn, I think I do remember that name. I'm going to go in and grab one of my annuals, and I'm going to take a look when I was a senior. And it's Keith Horn and Robert Ashley.
So Mike Ashley and Keith Horn were in my grade, three behind you. And Robert, I think, was up in your grade or one under you or something like that. Robert Ashley. They are all people that lived in my neighborhood.
I am one of these logic progression people. And I don't relate names with faces well. I remember, listen, you could tell me your phone number one time, and I won't see you again for 6 months, and I'll remember that phone number, but I won't remember your name.
phone call was over, because I beg to differ. I have an example.
He's getting the phone call, and it sounds like I might be in better. Dave, what I was saying is he mentioned something on the meeting about, getting some grid paper and laying it out real nice. Maybe he's looking at catting it up, but just give us some squiggly lines and some dimensions on it.
That's what I'll ask for. I'll kind of prod him a little bit to see if I can get him moving in that direction. I know he's got some work he's trying to get done on his house at home, too, so we might be kind of low on his priority list, but we'll see what we can do.
Okay, so you beg to differ about my analogy?
Voila, yeah, because, to make sure I got it, because when you got your license, I was talking on this repeater, and you came across here and asked me who I was, and gave me your name, and you worked by names only. There was no telephone numbers, and it had been 20 years since I talked to you.
Was?
I don't know. It was names only. It was nothing to do with the analogy the logic that you were saying that you used, because you used my name, and when you threw out your name, I knew exactly who you were talking about. It was more than 20 years, more like 30 years.
No. Let me tell you what it was that triggered me off on that, okay? I recognized your voice.
How long was that? That was in the 70s, and this is 22, that was 21. 70s, that's 50 years.
I'm telling you, there's certain things that trigger me off. A voice, I'll recognize a face. Numbers, it's like a steel trap. But when it comes to associating names with a face, I've got trouble with that.
I'll give you that one, but but you figured that out pretty quick.
I sure did. When we got on the radio that day, I said, "That cannot be. No." And that's when I got on there and started asking, about you. And when you, it just clicked. I said, oh, my God.
Over the years, every now and then when I was flying planes, I was wondering if you and your brother were still flying airplanes. Because I know we went out in front of that plant. I don't remember where it was, but we went to WCRC and we went flying out in front of that plant a few times. And then I don't know what happened. I think they stopped letting us fly in front of that plant, and that was the end of that. And then 50 years went by. Wow.
Yeah, man. And you know what? I'm really sorry that we kind of lost touch, but that was along about the time you started working for Michelin and working those crazy shifts. And, I mean, baby, you were gone.
I never did have a chance to meet out there at the flying field anymore because they shut it down. But I kept going. I kept flying while I was at Michelin. It was just when everybody else was working. I was out there at the airfield flying when I was on second, I'd fly on first. When I was on first, I'd fly before I went into work. So I was flying during the week when nobody else was there.
But you know what? Right along about that same time was when my daughter showed up. And you know what? That was 79 and 80, maybe 81 or 2. And because she was born in 79, in December of 79. And man, I tell you what. Now, I kept up with you for a while. While I was still flying, I'd run across folks that knew you and would tell me about you and James Barr and a few of those guys. You know, when you'd go out to those competitions and everything, and I said, man, I remember when he and I used to do that. Sheesh. How about that?
I'm going to go in another lifetime. Anyway, I'm at home. I'm going back into the driveway. Good talking to you. Keith, take care. I'll see if I can poke Johnny, get him to move on that a little bit. Anyway, I enjoyed it. W4DJW.
Hey, Dave. Hey, I'm just glad we've hooked back up to fly some and enjoy ourselves right here. So you have a good afternoon, and I will talk to you soon. Hey, Keith, maybe someday we'll get a drawing. Y'all have 73s. I'll talk to you again soon. KN4VWA, I'm out of here.
It came back and doubled with Steve there. I was just telling you, I definitely understand the other priorities thing. So, yeah, if that's what it is, definitely, whenever we get it, it's fine. Just had to thought good opportunities and it turned out not to be as good as it once was. So they're closing down. Over.
A lot here lately. Anyway, good talking to you. W4DJW. Catch you later.
W4DJW, KN4CHY. Yeah, Steve, I had a solution to your faces and names thing. Since you're good with numbers, just assign everybody a number, over.
Listen, W4DJW, you have a good afternoon, 007. And Keith, hey, you're going to have to pick your own number. But y'all can use 43 on me since I'm as fast as Richard Petty. Y'all have a good day. I'm clear.
Bigger than Petty. Yeah, I'm more of a Tom Petty guy, so there you go. But yeah, maybe you can memorize our DMR numbers or something. You ever get that Indy towed up running?
Kid, I've got it functioning. Hey, Russell, hang on a second, buddy. Hey, Kate, I got to jump, but I got another call. So, listen, you have a good afternoon. KN4VWA, clear.
I heard it ring that time. KN4CHY, clear, listen.